I suppose I should stay focused on the day-to-day drama of the election. I mean, there certainly is enough to fixate on, from last week's attempts on the lives of leading Americans and two former presidents, to the racially hate-inspired murders of African Americans and Jews. Still, for some reason, my thoughts keep going back to those first weeks after Trump's election, when many of us were more concerned that a person like Trump had been elected president than were devastated that Hillary, the phenomenally prepared female candidate, had lost. Sure, some naively assumed that the only thing that had happened was the ever-so-common transition between Democrats and Republicans. However, for many close observers, that was not at all what had occurred. After all, that Trump was ever-so-obviously not a Republican, despite having captured their nomination in an incredibly crowded primary battle, which allowed him to carve out a win based on the most extremist elements of the Republican Party, indeed was obvious to many. And what was especially obvious to those more familiar with global than exclusively American politics was that Trump himself channeled fascism far more than American conservatism. Or, as others saw it, with somewhat less historical accuracy, George Orwell's dystopic novel 1984, that drew so deeply from both the Stalinist and Maoist traditions, and not surprisingly soon found me, a professor of international politics, serving as a speaker here in the Capital Region on whether Orwell's 1984 had arrived, and as an audience member at a seminar organized by Harvard's Department of Government, both of which were especially thought-provoking. At the first session, on whether 1984 would soon be upon us, I found myself coupled with a scholar of American history who was considerably less concerned than I was about the implications of the Trump election. From his perspective, the American constitutional system had been designed with enough checks and balances to survive even the most poorly elected product of the Electoral College, while I, a student less of American civilization than global, was significantly more pessimistic, because in the context of global politics, there was a very long record of democratic societies being undermined by angry populists willing to mine nationalism and hate to win commanding power for themselves. And then only a short while later, I found myself at Harvard's symposium when one of the professors made a particularly profound observation. Not that Trump spoke and thought like a fascist. That was obvious to anyone familiar with European political history. But that while fascists have often overthrown democratic societies, no individual fascist or fascist movement had ever taken on a country with as strong a civil society as the United States. That healthy constitutional system my colleague here at SAGE had spoken of. And of course, 2 years ago, that was the core question. Was American society as vulnerable as so many before it to the national seductions of fascism? But that was then, and this is now. And we have had 2 years to study the question in real time. And what have we seen? Astoundingly, that many of the same Republicans who once denounced Trump for his trashing of the party's heritage, its legacy from Lincoln to Reagan, spent the last 2 years falling in lockstep with the man's leadership style, a style that would have made Italy's fascist leader, Benito Mussolini, ever so proud, while the Republican Party's domination of the White House, Congress, and increasingly the court system, has morphed into a domination by the party of Trump that reflected Trump's congenital fascism considerably more than the Republican Party's impressive heritage. Nevertheless, for the moment, Trump and company cannot avoid the electoral reckoning the founders built into the Constitution, the 2-year check on American leaders that culminates in next Tuesday's election, when an unknown number of Americans will step into the voting booths, not so much to vote for one party or another, but to vote for the continuation of America's historic freedoms.